نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: ودخل معه السجن فتيان، قال أحدهما: إني أراني أعصر خمرا، وقال الآخر: إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل الطير منه، نبئنا بتأويله، إنا نراك من المحسنين. So two men enter with him into the prison. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them said, إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا, I see myself, I am pressing wine. وقال الآخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا. And the second one, he said, I see myself carrying bread on my head. تأكل الطير منه, from which birds are eating it, eating from it. نبئنا بتأويله, tell us the interpretation of these dreams. Inna naraka minal muhsinin, indeed we see you as a man of good deeds. قال لا يأتيكما طعام ترزقانه إلا نبأتكما بتأويله قبل أن يأتيكما. He said, Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا يأتيكما طعام, the food which is provided for you will not come to you unless except I will tell you the exact description of it. That food which is provided for you into the prison, it will not come to you, it will not be served to you before that I will tell you its exact description before it comes to you. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي, and this is from that knowledge which my Rabb, my Lord, has given to me. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, indeed I have abandoned the way, the madhab, the religion of those people who do not believe in Allah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ, and they are denying the day of judgment too, the day of resurrection too. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ, and I follow the madhab, the way, the religion of my forefathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub. ما كان لنا أن نشرك بالله من شيء, it is not for us, it doesn't suit us, it's not appropriate for us, it is not allowed for us to associate anything with Allah, with the God. ذلك من فضل الله علينا, and this is a favor of Allah upon us. وعلى الناس, and on people also. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ, but most of the people are ungrateful. يَا صَاحِبَيِ السِّجْنِ, O my fellow prisoners, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ, are different gods better or one Allah who is all-dominant? Are different gods better or one Allah all alone who is all dominant? غالب القهار. ما تعبدون من دونه إلا أسماء سميتموها, beside him, if you worship anyone else, it is only names which you and your forefathers has named. It is only names. Asma'an sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum. I wish if everyone could be holding Quran, you know, that you could see, you know, how the words are put beautifully. Yeah, he's holding on his own. MashaAllah. That's that, you know, unless until you don't see, you don't experience the real, the vocabulary is used, the eloquence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the words together. Anyway. So Allah says, without Him, except Him, whomever you are worshipping, they are only names which are named by you and your forefathers. Inil ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah has not revealed any authority about them to worship them. Allah has not revealed anything. Inil hukmu illa lillah. Governance belongs only to Allah. Rule belongs only to Allah. Amara Allah ta'budu illa iyyah. So He has given this ordinance that no one should be worshipped except Him. Allah ta'budu illa. You should not be worshipping anyone except Allah. And this worshipping only alone, only Him, this tawheed, oneness. ذَٰلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the right path of life. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of the people have no idea about this. They have no idea. They're living with their life without this, without knowing this. Most of the people do not know. يَا صَاحِبَي السِّجْنِ أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. Oh my fellow prisoners, one of you will serve his Lord wine. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَيُسْلَبْ. And the other one of you is going to be crucified, hanged. فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. And the birds will eat from his head. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. That matter in which you were asking about, this is already destined. The matter you have inquired about, this is already destined. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِمْ مِنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. And Yusuf alayhi salam said to the one whom he thought, whom he believed that he is going to be freed, don't forget to mention me in front of your Lord, in front of the king. Udhkurni inda rabbik. Mention about me in front of your Lord. But what happened? فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. فَلَبِثَ فِي السَّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ. Shaitan made him forget to mention about him in front of his Lord. The devil made him forget to mention about the Prophet in front of his Lord. فَلَبِثَ فِي السَّجْنِ بِضَعَ سِنِينَ. Since that happened, he did stay in the prison for few more years. For a few more years, he stayed in the prison. Yusuf alayhi salam. This is the ruku we are going to, inshallah, learn today. First of all, I really appreciate all of you coming here to learn the Quran, learn the book of Allah, listen to the ayat and understanding the ayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us, accept this from us. When I was reading the tafsir of these ayat, the shaykh, this mufassir, has written this one thing. He says that Quran is not a book of history. History, the idea of history books is just to tell the stories, for the sake of stories. So Quran is not a history book. It does not tell us stories for the sake of stories, just to enjoy the story and then that's it. No. It's not a story night. It's not a story night. But what Quran, the stories and the small incidents Quran mentions and the indication it gives, it always have guidance for people to how to live their lives. The Quran is the guidance. It's a book of guidance for people to know how to live their lives. Right? Sometimes we listen to the ayat and we learn their translation, but we don't have this idea that how can I implement all of this in my life? How this, what I'm hearing right now, fits in my life. So Quran, that's why Quran doesn't go in too much details. It just tells those parts of the stories which you need to know to live your life. What do you need to know to take decisions in your life? Like the last ayat we learned previous session last Friday. In those ayat, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah, the Prophet said to Allah, we learn that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved him that he is clean, he is innocent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves his innocence. And after all of that, when the matter is all proved and is cleared, still she tried to convince him to commit sin. And she called all the other women also and all, whatever the incident happened. But after that, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua to Allah. Oh Allah, they are threatening me to imprison me. Or unless I start or I do this sin with them. So then he said to Allah, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. You know, just this one verse needs 1 hour to elaborate. Just this one verse. Can you imagine a person on the face of earth preferring to be present on living freely? Nowadays, we fight to prove ourselves to be innocent, and we fight for our rights. We fight to be free. And here is a person on the face of earth preferring to be imprisoned on being free. But why is that, my dear brothers? Because the prophets, the reality is opened on them. They know what is good and what is bad. They see the reality behind things. The reality behind things. And that is called in Arabic firasat. So remember when we were beginning Surah Yusuf, I said everyone that each every ruku, there are several parts of this surah. And every part of this surah, every portion of this surah tells us a quality a person needs to invite people towards Allah. Remember that? So we talked about patience, then we talked about trustworthiness, that he kept his master's trust and he did not commit any sin with his family. So all of that happened. Now that third quality which a prophet needs, which a person who wants to invite people towards Allah, a da'i needs, it's firasat. When a person has taqwa, my dear brothers, when a person doesn't commit sins, and he protects his eyes, he protects his tongue, and he protects his limbs, then Allah gives him this firasat. Right away he goes into the depth of the matters. He will listen to a thing and he will understand the reality of it. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tattaqullaha يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you fear Allah, Allah will give you this furqan, an ability to differentiate between what is wrong and what is right. And when you don't have taqwa, my dear brothers, when you don't have fear of Allah, when you have your life is filled with sins, this furqan, this firasat is snatched away from you. Then you don't know what is good for me and what is bad for me. You're wasting your life, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your abilities in something which is hurtful to you. So this is called firasat. So this story, this ruku, this portion now we are going to discuss tonight is all about firasat. That he heard the dream, what the prisoners said to them, and he went into the depth of that matter. He told them the interpretation of those talks. And he managed the situation he was in and he completed the mission he was given. It is very interesting. So anyway, but what I want to discuss before I get into that ruku is that Ajib, just think about it for a second. That how can a person prefer being in prison over being living freely in the house of a minister? It's just that, my dear brothers and sisters upstairs, that Anbiya know what sins do to a person. So they prefer a life with taqwa over sin, no matter how much problems it has. We can live poor, we cannot disobey Allah. I can bear sickness, but I cannot disobey Allah. I can lose anything, but I cannot disobey Allah. I will lose my freedom. I will live in a prison, but I cannot disobey Allah. Nowadays, my dear brothers, because a person living a sinful life, a life filled with sins, you know what ulama has said, ulama has written, if one wants to see, if one wants to see a person from Jahannam, just go see a person who is living his life in the disobedience of Allah. He is already living his life in Jahannam. He is already in hell, my dear brothers. Because, my dear brothers, no. And then, on top of that, a person commits sin. That's why all the life comforting appliances and things we have in our lives, but still life is full of stress, still life is full of distress, full of pain, full of depression. This is what sins does to you, my dear brothers. And sometimes a person has 5 times salah, a person has some good deeds in his life, he is doing welfare work also, he is giving charity also, still there is distress in his life. Because, my dear brothers, if I am wearing a backpack and I put one burning charcoal into it, small one, not big one, small one, what will happen? I will for sure feel the heat of it. And one small burning charcoal, burning coal is enough to fire up the whole house, isn't it? One small one is enough. One sin, small sin is enough to ruin one's life. One small sin. We are saying committing sin day and night, all day long sins. Eyes are filled with zina. Looking at haram day and night. And then on top of that, my dear brothers, another punishment of Allah. See, there is one person, he is feeling pain. He knows why he is feeling pain, so his pain is going to be less. But there is a person who is feeling pain and he doesn't even know why I am feeling pain. That's two punishments together. Can you imagine how distressed and how depressed a person had to be to take his own life away? People have no idea why we are distressed. That's why they take their life away. They take their own life away. Because they have no idea what these sins do to them. When you commit haram, when you disobey Allah, when you abandon salah, when you don't come to the masjid, when you don't visit salah, when you don't answer the call of Allah, this fills your heart with distress. No bad can comfort you now. No pill is there in the pharmacy can put you in comfort, my dear brothers. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. This life of the obedience of Allah, it's cure for everything. So that's why he said, okay, prison is better for me. Let me protect my iman, protect my amal. I will live in prison, but I don't want that free life which is in the disobedience of Allah. And today us, we are abandoning the orders of Allah for few dollars. For few dollars, the whole week I'm working. And I'm looking for comfort and happiness. From where, brothers? From where? So anyway, and there are numerous of stories of Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullah Ajmain that they showed that we will die but we will not disobey Allah. You know, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Allah, who are your beloved ones? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one hadith al-Qudsi, he mentions the qualities of the beloved ones of Allah, those who are really close to Allah. He says they are those who are with naqiyul qalb, they are very, very clean hearts. They don't have any hatred of anyone. And their hands are, they never spread their hands in front of people. They only spread their hands in front of Allah. They only ask Allah, never ask anyone. And then one of the quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yazulul jibal wala yazul. Allahu Akbar. Mountains will move, but they don't move from the obedience of Allah. Mountain can move, but I cannot abandon salah. Kuch bhi ho jaye, nafarmani nahi ho. Mountains will move. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like that. So anyway, when the family of the minister and the minister himself realized, now this is very hard for him to live openly, since what she had done had gone viral and everybody has found out about it, what she was doing. So the minister and everyone thought that it is better for him to stay in the prison than outside. So they sent him into the prison. This is what the last thing we learned. لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. For some time, they sent him to jail. Now when he went into jail, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, two other men came with him, entered with him into the jail. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, my dear brothers, the greatest quality of a Nabi, of a Prophet, is akhlaq, good morals, good character. And this is something, my dear brothers, which makes your place in everyone's heart, which makes everyone fall in love with you. Good character. The reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the face of the world in just 23 years was not the sword, my dear brothers, was his own good character, what his akhlaq, his forbearance, his patience, his giving away, his taking care of people. So this is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did when he got into prison. He showed the prisoners his good character. Anyone falling sick, he used to go and start serving him. Start visiting him. Anyone would start crying and would go in grief, being in prison, he would go and wo tasalli ko kya kehte hain,
condolence,
ha condolence, he give condolence to him, ha he start comforting him, consoling him also, right? So he would serve each prisoner, and whenever there is a situation in which he could comfort other and take hardship upon himself, he would give the comfort to other and take hardship on himself. Sure. Giving food, shita, sharing food. So he showed his good character. Everyone in the prison started loving him. And in that, Mufassirin has written this funny thing also. When he saw that people are loving him, and some prisoners actually came to him saying him, "Oh brother Yusuf, we love you." He said, no, don't love me. Please don't love me. They said, why? He said, when I was young, my stepmother loved me, and she put this false accusation of stealing upon me. Then my father loved me, my brother started hating me, and they caused me to leave the country. Then this wife of the minister, she started loving me. Now I got into prison, end up in prison. Now don't love me, please. The more people love me, the more trouble I get in. So please don't love me. But since he was making his place in people's heart, my dear brothers, and this is something very, most of the time we are trying to win our family members' hearts with our aggression, with our anger, with our, manhood. This is totally wrong. I remember my sheikh, he used to tell us, that he told us once that, he said, one of the brother, he came to me and he said, "Hazrat, you know how much my family members scared with me? When I go home, as soon as I enter my home, everybody is scared. And everybody sits down properly. Nobody talks, nobody laughs. Nobody laughs, everybody is scared." So he was telling him, he was boasting on this, right? So Hazrat, I want to say that in Urdu, then I'll translate also. So Hazrat said, "Achha, bhediye hain aap. Achha, bhediye hain aap. Oh, so you're a wolf in your house," in other words. You act like a wolf in your house. This is not manhood. This is not how you control your family. Families are controlled with love, with good character, with showing them emotions. Days pass by, we don't tell them that we love them. Days. Outside house, we have a lot of good akhlaq. This person has a very good character outside house. But as soon as he gets into his house, he is man. He becomes a man. Oh. Just the other day I learned this hadith. Ajeeb. Can any one of us possibly imagine doing this? Can any one of us? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever Fatima radiallahu anha used to enter in his house, he would get up from his bed, from where he's sitting, and used to go onto the door, grab her hand, kiss her hand, and holding her hand, used to bring her to the sitting area and placed her and sat her down first, then he used to sit. Can any one of us do that? Can this daughter will disobey father? She would die, but will not disobey father. This is manhood. This is akhlaq. No, I feel disgraced if I touch my, if I respect my own children. Oh, my dear brothers. And especially in the era, time and era we are living in, my dear brothers. Allahu Akbar. What word should I use? Because I teach the students, I'm in this profession for years now. There was one student who used to do hifz with us. So his parents are very strict, strict. So from morning till afternoon school, then afternoon to noon till evening hives, and then evening till bed studies again the homework again. I myself went to their parents and I joined my hands on it. Please give him some time to play also. Please give him some time for living. No, you don't know them. Bhai, they are human being also. And now what do you think? The one who is raised like this, is he gonna take care of his parents when he's gonna grow up? He is just waiting to get 18 years old. He is just waiting. How many students I know, those who are waiting until they get 18 year old. They're just waiting that they turn 18. That's it. How many of them I know? And their parents, very pious. Very pious. My dear brothers, piety is just not deen. Offering salah is not just deen. Sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem, in the halqa of tafsir is just not deen. Deen is a lot. This whole way of life, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is called deen. So anyway, he showed his good akhlaq. So when people start trusting you, what they do? They come tell you your problems. They come tell your secrets. In one another hadith it comes. There was one brother who was my best friend in Karachi. Allahu Akbar. Very pious, very extremely pious. Has no job. Family-wise, he was very rich. But he is just always, every day he has someone's matter to deal with. Somebody comes and gives him, I have this problem, and he is just after him to solve his problem. That's what his life profession. So everyone used to say, bhai, find some job, do something in your life. But very pious man. So then I had him in my mind, and then I got to learn this hadith. Allahu Akbar. Please listen to this, my dear brothers. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The hadith says, the narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah wishes good for a person, jab Allah kisi ke saath khair khai ka irada karte hai. When Allah wishes good for a person, he starts using him to solve his makhluk's problem. Whenever Allah wills khair for a person, goodness for a person, Allah uses him to solve the problems of the makhluk, of the people. He will be always running after the solving people's affair. There is a sign that Allah has good wishes good for him. Khairun nas, mayyanfa'un nas. Best of the people who are most beneficial to the people. So this is what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam showed his character. So these two people came to him and asked him about the dream they saw. So one of them saw that I am... Now why these two young people entered into the prison? The case was on them about poisoning the king. One of them was the drink server, and the other one was the cook of the king. So the case was that they both had tried to poison the king. That's why they both have been... The investigation was on. So meanwhile they were in prison. So both of them came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they said that one of them said, I saw that I am squeezing grapes to make wine for the king. Asiru khamra. And the other one, he said, I saw in the dream that I am carrying bread on my head, and the birds are coming and eating from it. And they asked, if you can interpret our dream, we see you a man of good deeds, we trust you, and we see the noor on you. Now look what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did. First of all, he realized that they are attracted to him. They are inspired by him. Now, what do we do when we feel, when we know that this person is attracted to me and inspired by me, or he is close to me? We start taking our worldly benefits from him. I can use him to solve this, I can use him to get this. But this is not what prophets do. Prophets, when they see people are attracted towards them, they use that attraction to connect them with Allah. You know, it comes in a hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara first. So he stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, right? The whole incident. But what Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu did is that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay in the first floor, and indeed he himself stayed on the lower level. So after some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, "Oh Abu Ayyub, why did you choose the first floor for me and you stayed on the lower floor?" So what did he reply? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, the houses back then, it was not that these kind of cement or anything like that. It was used to be, you know, unbaked mud and unbaked bricks, right?" So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, the house is not baked and not, it's not cement. So whenever you walk on the first floor, some of the dust falls on the second, on the ground floor. So we didn't want it to be upstairs and we walk and the dust falls upon you. That's why we ask you to stay on the first floor." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that he is attracted to him. He is having love for him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give him more things, you know, taking more worldly benefits. Right away Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him, "Oh Abu Ayyub, why don't you recite the tasbihat after each salah?" He gave him that tasbihat, you know, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allah. So this is the habits of Anbiya. That's what they do when they feel that the people are in love with him. That's what they do first. They make sure that their character is such that people start loving them. People start getting close to them. And that love and that closeness they use to make people, to change people directions from dunya to akhirat, from worldly things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they use. So this is exactly what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did. Look, first of all, he proved them, before answering them, he proved them that he is Nabi. And to prove them that he is Nabi, he showed them a miracle right away. And he said, "Look, that the food you guys are provided in the prison, every day different food comes. Today before it comes to you, I will tell you the exact description before it comes, the how it's going to be." Yeah. What is going to be, how it's going to be cooked, and how it's going to be served, I will tell you exact before it comes. And then he said, it is not something that I am a magician or something. Dalikuma mimma allamani rabbi. This is from Allah. Allah tells me with revelation. This is how he proved his nubuwwat. So two things Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam proves. One is nubuwwat, one is tawheed. Then he proved them tawheed. First he proved his nubuwwat, that I am a prophet, I am a true prophet. And then he proved them that Allah is one, the oneness of Allah. That he said, "Inni taraktu millata qawmin la yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. Billahi wa hum bil akhirati hum yuqinun. Wa hum kafirun." that I have left the religion of those, the path of life of those who do not believe in Allah. And they are in denial of Akhirat, in denial of the Day of Judgment. I don't live that life. This is my belief, that I believe in Allah and I believe in Akhirat. You know, my dear brothers, in most of the ahadith, the word comes qala, not qara'a. You know, qara'a is from iqra. Qara'a. Qara'a is to recite. And qala is to say. You know the difference between qara'a and qala? Ajeeb, Allahu Akbar. The hadith says, man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan dakhala al-jannah. It's not like man qara'a la ilaha illallah. Is everyone understanding what I'm saying? The hadith says, man qala la ilaha illallah. Allah. Qara'a is a action, is a deed of tongue. Is something you do by your tongue. You recite. Qala. Qala means that each and every limb of your body says la ilaha illallah. What your hands do, your deeds of your actions also say la ilaha illallah. The deed of your eyes also say la ilaha illallah. The deeds of your ears also say la ilaha illallah. Each and every limb of you say la ilaha illallah, adhere to la ilaha illallah, this person will enter into Jannat. This is what it is. We sing, just saying la ilaha illallah will enter into Jannat. It's not that easy, my brothers. Each and every limb of our body has to adhere to la ilaha illallah. So then he proved, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَاءِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقِ. And I am not following Allah in Akhirat just because I'm following. No, this is the path and this is the life. This is the way of the life of our forefathers. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was famous among everyone. Everybody recognized Abraham. Everybody recognized him as the father of Tawheed, father of religion. So he mentioned his name first. Abai Ibrahim. Ma kana lana nushrika billahi min shay. Associating partners with Allah is not something that we do. Dhalika min fadlillahi alayna. And this is the favor, great favor of Allah. This is believing in Tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah. That is the great favor of Allah. That Allah, because all the goodness of this life and the life hereafter lies in the submitting in oneness to Allah. Because in a hadith it comes, Allah, that even after when the people of Jahannam will enter into Jahannam, and a huge lot of time will pass by, after a long time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, the one who has even said once in lifetime that Allah is one, and he has not done any other good deed, still take him out of Jahannam. Take him out of Jahannam. So he will, one day he will come out of Jahannam because of this Tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah. And that moment, the non-believers will say, oh, and that when they will see these people are leaving Jahannam, they will say, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. They will intensely grieve for this, intensely crave for this. And we would have believed once in our life. Kaash ek dafa kalma padh le. Unless we would have believed once, we would have said the name of Allah once in our life. We would have got out of this. Allahu Akbar. So this is the great favor of Allah. So why is it a favor of Allah? Because it is Allah who has put this ability in us to accept what is truth, and Allah Himself is the one who has told us the truth. Allah is the one who has put this ability in us to accept what is the truth, accept what is the reality. And He Himself, the one who has told us what is the reality. And then He favored us to accept it. That is why it is a great favor of Allah upon us and upon people also. But most of the people, they are ungrateful about this. They don't even recognize this as a favor that we have believed. And then he says, so to prove anything, you have to have two kinds of proof. See, whatever we do in our life is proven by either one of the two things. Either it is proven by our intellect. Okay. I have never seen this before, but my intellect and my aqal, my thinking and my intelligence tells me that this is how it is. So I will do it. And the second thing, my intelligence doesn't tell me this, but I have seen my forefathers doing this. So there is aqli dalil, there is naqli dalil. Naqal, what has been the tradition, what has been coming from my forefathers. So one of the two things has to be there. So he proved with both of the two things that what you are believing in is wrong. So first he gave an intellectual proof. That he said, O my fellow prisoners, أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار. Is it this path of life is better in which you have many gods and you worship all of them, or this path of life is better that you worship only one Allah? Which one is better, worshiping a lot of them or one? So it just don't make sense that you worship many gods. It doesn't make sense. That's how he proved that they were wrong, that their belief was wrong, with aqli dalil. And then the naqli dalil. Then he said, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. All of those gods, false gods which you are worshipping, are just the names which you and your forefather has named. It's just that. Allahu Akbar. Ma anzal Allahu biha min sultan, and Allah has not revealed any authority upon this. So okay. If it doesn't make sense, there are a lot of things in our religion. It does make sense, but it's not necessary that we can understand the sense of it. Right? So a lot of things in our religion, there are wisdom in it. But it doesn't have to, for me to follow it, it's not necessary I have to understand the reality and the wisdom of it. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, like in wuzu, when we make wuzu, and in winter, we are allowed to wear leather socks. And when we wear leather socks, we are allowed to wipe them instead of taking them off while making wuzu, and washing them instead of washing them. We can just do masha on it, wipe them from the front, and your wuzu is done. In winter, when you are not traveling, when you are at house, when you are resident, it is allowed for one day. And when you are traveling, it is allowed for 3 days. Right? So Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that if our religion was based on our intellect, agar deen aqal per hota, so what does our intellect says? That when you're trying to wipe and when you're trying to clean something, and you're cleaning your toes, your feet, so when you walk, what part of it gets dirty? The underneath part or the top part? The underneath part. So why do you should be wiping from underneath? Why are you wiping from the top? That's why he used to say that deen is not based on our intellect. Deen ka madar aqal nahi. So, but there is wisdom in everything. But it is not necessary that we understand the wisdom of it. So that's why, even though it doesn't make sense to worship many gods, if there was an authority, a proof revealed by Allah, if it had been order of Allah, then we would have had to do it. But he said, in it, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. Allah had not revealed any proof for to worship many gods. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. All the ordinance, all the governance belongs to one Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And this is finally, he says, the order of Allah is that you worship only Allah alone. But my dear brothers, you know, the sad part is that we think only those non-believers outside who worship false God are the non-believers, are not following Islam, are not following religion. You know, the greatest God worshipped, which is worshipped throughout the world? Huh? Is our own desire. That everybody, even though he believes in Allah or not believe in Allah, worshipping who?
Desire.
Afara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. Dekha nahi us aadmi ko jisne apni khwahish ko khuda bana liya. Like I said in the Jumma khutbah today. Every single day I go with this fight. My Allah tells me to come to masjid and my desire tells me, oh, go to sleep. Fajr time, be on the bed, don't get up. And I say to him, my Lord, my desire, okay, whatever you say. Zohar time, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time. Whenever haram comes in front of me, whenever I'm about to say haram, my desire says do, Allah says don't. And I worship Allah. You should have good assumption, you know. So my dear brothers, this is what it is. Allahu Akbar. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This worshipping all Allah alone, this is the right way of life. But most of the people have no idea about it. And then, my dear brothers, after giving them the da'wat, after using their attraction to invite them towards Allah, then he told them the interpretation of dream. Then he said, okay now, so one of them said that I saw preparing wine, and one of them saw I'm carrying the bread. So he knew what is the interpretation for who. But that's what one thing Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam are equipped with. This is another quality they have, that they are always well-wisher of people. They are always caring for people. They don't want to let anyone down. So he did not point, he said, you, the one who has seen this dream, this is the answer. And you, the one who has seen this dream, this is the answer. He did not say that. He said, one of you is going to be